Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. This is the first Peoria City Council meeting of the year. The City Council and staff are working with a new set of goals. The city's new strategic plan is the last agenda item for the Council to approve tonight. But the agenda that precedes the strategic plan covers a wide cross-section of city business. Peoria City Manager Patrick Urich is our guest to give us some detail on a number of items on the Council's agenda. Welcome to Outside the Horseshoe.
Thank you for having me.
Our first of 2014.
Looking forward to a great 2014, by the way.
So we're going to talk about several things, and let's get started. There's a lot happening on tonight's consent agenda that likely won't be pulled off and discussed individually. So let's take a minute to talk about some of those things. The first being the acquisition of a private property that goes toward the public right-of-way on the Alta Road bike trail project. But it's really more about the annexation of something bigger. It's a little bit bigger project.
We've got a couple of projects. On Alta Road, we have a right-of-way acquisition that allows us to connect Alta Road, the pedestrian access along Alta Road. And it's a small piece in front of a daycare center that will allow us to finish up some of the pedestrian improvements along Alta Road. In addition, on Allen Road, we have a proposed annexation of a small parcel of property that would come into the city from the state of Illinois that we would be acquiring. And this parcel of property that we have is very small. It's one house, but it will open up the Glen Haven Estates, which is across Allen Road. It will open that up for annexation. We already have a standing annexation agreement with that subdivision, so they will come into the city. And Wilder Waite School will also come into the city as well because of an annexation agreement that we have with District 323.
How many acres roughly is that?
You know, I don't know exactly the total acreage, but it is sizable enough that from a revenue standpoint, we're very happy to see the Glen Haven Estates coming in. That will mean, this is again, it was a pre-annexation agreement that we had in place. It will bring all of those properties into the city of Peoria. So
to the city, it means some additional property taxes. To the neighborhood that's being annexed, it means some city services for them.
Absolutely. It definitely means city services, city police, city fire.
But it's for less than $30,000 that the city is investing to make all of this happen.
No question.
All right, so that is item C on the consent agenda. Item D1, just below that, is about using some motor fuel tax dollars in the amount of about $1 million to help improve Town Line Road, which is a road that people who are coming from the northern part of town, if you travel that road, it's significant to you.
It is. This will allow us to do the design work, the construction, construction engineering for this project. So for roughly $1 million, this will improve Town Line Road from University Street, where it on the curve, to Allen Road. So this is an improvement that will allow us to make those improvements that we need to make in that stretch. It is an important improvement for us in this area, and it's a road that right now the condition of just this curve and that stretch of Town Line is in really bad shape. You know, everywhere right now the roads, we've got a lot of potholes, but this road was in bad shape. It was on our capital budget, and so this will allow us to make those improvements.
A little bit on further down the consent agenda, items I and J handle what the city does with temporary board ups, places that are absent of anybody living or working in them. And so what's the city looking to do there? What's the overall aim of that?
Currently, buildings can be boarded for no more than 180 days. So there could be another 180-day extension. But after that period, the owner must either repair or demolish the structure. So that they really have one of two choices. In order to provide some middle ground, what we wanted to do was to amend the ordinances to allow for the ability to, in essence, mothball a property that would allow for an unlimited boarding of the property under very strict guidelines. And so what we've tried to do is allow for and create an ordinance that will be adopted, hopefully this evening by the council, that would place some stringent requirements on how you would have to go about doing the mothballing. Particularly what we wanted to do in historic districts is make sure that they went through the same process that you would do if you were making any modifications to a property where you had to get a certificate of appropriateness, so that we make sure that the property is being maintained in an appropriate manner consistent with the historic regulations that we have to follow in our historic districts.
Right. This is about then sustaining buildings that may be absent of normal activity.
What I think with the proper care and following the mothballing ordinance, you will be able to see that property owners will be able to board up properties for a longer period of time, but this preserves the built environment that we have in our older neighborhoods, and this is important. We have seen many properties throughout the older neighborhoods of the city that have fallen into disrepair, that have been boarded up, they haven't been maintained properly, and it becomes areas for that have become nuisances that attract a criminal element, that could attract other problems, and then we end up eventually having to tear some of these houses down. So if it's done properly, this mothballing ordinance will specifically protect properties, and it gives very, as we said, very stringent guidelines on how you have to do that.
It's a $20 annual permit if you're interested in participating in the mothballing of an older structure.
That's great.
Then let's talk a little bit about the hearing that's going to be set on sewer rate adjustments, just so people clearly understand that this isn't about any remediation of the CSO issues, the combined sewer overflow issues with the EPA.
That's correct. This we will be setting a public hearing for January 28th at 6:15 p.m. Regarding our proposed sewer rate adjustments. We are proposing our city sewer rates be increased by 15% effective May 1st, 2014, and 5% effective May 1st, 2015. This will go into effect on that May 1st date. It coincides with when the sanitary district's rates increase. And we're really doing this to try and match our revenues with what it's our expenses are planned for sewer maintenance and for our sanitary sewer rehabilitation program. So it's really to maintain our sanitary sewer system. It doesn't pertain to our combined sewer overflow problem that we're still dealing with the federal government on right now.
At the end of last year, there was discussion about parking rates increasing in downtown. That's going to be deferred for a little while.
We are deferring this for 2 weeks until we bring this back to council on the 28th. And the reason that we're deferring it is our Downtown Advisory Commission was scheduled to meet last week. They deferred their meeting for a week. And so this would allow them to meet this coming Thursday. They will have a meeting, and this will give them the opportunity to weigh in on this topic.
The Cedar Street jurisdictional transfer, that is also just a matter of some general business that happens, but still something that people might want to be aware of.
The jurisdictional transfers of portions of the Cedar Street right-of-way pertain to ADM's truck staging areas. They are currently in the process of reconfiguring where their truck traffic is staged before they drop off grain at their plant.
This is important because in the fall, if you travel in downtown, you will come upon, at some point in time, a large number of grain trucks sitting parked in the middle of, it's Cedar Street.
You would, and it used to be along Washington Street. And with all the improvements that we wanted to make in the warehouse district, we needed to work with ADM to see that this could be reconfigured. This will allow for an ability to accommodate additional trucks being staged in that area. And it will actually increase their staging capacity from 58 trucks to 122 trucks.
Wow.
They get in the fall when they're bringing in grain, they can get up to 350 trucks a day coming in to ADM.
That area is kind of landlocked. Where might you be pushing those vehicles to?
We're actually going to be staging those trucks underneath the Cedar Street Bridge. So that's part of the jurisdictional transfer is between IDOT and ADM and the city as we all work together towards trying to build a safe place for the trucks to stage underneath the Cedar Street Bridge and in the properties adjacent to it that ADM currently has that owns. And so that's the intent behind that.
Okay. So it's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
That is on your regular business agenda. So we're beyond the consent agenda at this point. Then just beyond that is a piece of property that the city is looking to purchase from a private citizen. At the end of 2013, people may remember there were some people who, in public comment, came to the city council and said, your work on the culvert project on Alta Road, I believe it was,
yes,
it has irrevocably harmed our property, the foundation of their house, I believe it was.
They had some cracks that were showing from some of the work that was done. This is, again, at the intersection of Alta Road and Allen Road,
yeah,
where the culvert washed out,
right,
during the spring floods of last year. As the work was done to remedy that and replace the culvert and get the road back in working order, there was some damage done to that property. As we look at a permanent fix, whether it's a traditional intersection or a roundabout, we're going to need some right-of-way from the family that lived in that property. So we've been able to reach an agreement. We have a proposed acquisition, and we're asking council to approve this evening, and hopefully they will.
Can we also talk about Expo Gardens and the neighbors' concerns about noise there, trying to find some balance? I know that there was a public hearing, 2 weeks ago, and there has been ongoing discussion. Councilman Montelongo has been communicating with other council members and residents of the neighborhood in that area, trying to find some way to keep Expo Gardens financially sustainable. So allowing things to happen there, but also in such a way that the neighbors aren't disturbed by the noise level. What kind of happy medium might be found there tonight?
Well, I think that's really the key question here is, can there be a middle ground that's found? Currently, the proposal in front of the council for Expo, and this clarifies their current special use that they have within the property, would allow for them to conduct the Heart of Illinois Fair and then other non-fair events conducted where they would be either motorized activities or activities with amplified sound would have to be conducted within buildings only. Or non-motorized and non-amplified activities could be conducted outside of buildings but must be located within the interior of the property. And Councilman Montelongo has been working very hard on this topic and I think is still trying to try and find some additional conditions or some other conditions on this one. So it's possible that this gets deferred this evening as additional work comes forward on this one.
Councilman Montelongo is, of course, the 4th District City Councilman, and this rests within his district, and that's why he's the point person on it.
Absolutely.
Just to be clear on that. So it is likely that this will be deferred then tonight.
I'm fairly confident that this will be deferred.
At the end of the week, there is the joint city-county legislative agenda breakfast. That's where county board members and city council members communicate with their state lawmakers about what they would like to see happen at the state level. Talk about what the city is hoping to put forward there and see the state achieve.
For the last several years, we've had this as a joint meeting between the two bodies, and we have several requests that we are asking for our legislative delegation to consider introducing legislation on, and then we have other positions that the city and the county are taking where we're just simply asking for the legislators to know where our positions on legislative projects are. As far as direct sponsorship, where we're asking our legislators to take the lead on introducing legislation, we have a joint request that would allow for cities to declare vacant land abandoned when an owner ceases to maintain the property. That's a big problem that we have in many of our older neighborhoods where people will literally get underwater in their mortgage and then walk away from the property, leaving it abandoned. But it takes us a very under Illinois law, we have to actually have a property that is in danger of causing harm in order to be declared abandoned. And there are times where people will walk away from parcels with no structures on them. And we can't declare it an abandoned property, and so it just sits on the books until it goes through the tax sale process, and 3 years later we end up taking the property. So this would allow us to expedite that. The city has 3 requests for direct sponsorship, the first being that we would like to be able to put the garbage bill that is sent to our residential homeowners inside the city of Peoria onto the property tax and do it as a non-ad valorem tax. So it wouldn't be based on the value of your property. it would be based on the current $14 per month cost that we have. There are other states that have this ability already under their state law. We don't have that authority in Illinois. So instead of simply putting out a bill that would be based on the value of your home, it would be a separate line item that would be listed for garbage collection, for residential trash collection, and it would be at the $168 versus the if it would be based on the value of your home.
People would pay that twice a year then?
They would pay it twice a year.
Then would people who escrow that money or no?
It would ultimately have to be escrowed, and it would have to be paid by the escrow agent as they're paying the taxes. So yes. So we have a couple of others. One, we wanted to free up some of our requirements that we have to follow within IDOT's regulations as we use state motor fuel taxes in urban areas. And we also wanted IDOT to comply with our local design guidelines when rehabilitating infrastructure for pedestrian purposes. Right now on many state highways, they do not do any of the pedestrian improvements along those areas, and we want them to be responsible for that. Or we want some additional flexibility with how we're able to utilize state motor fuel tax dollars. We have another request. Illinois, the General Assembly recently passed legislation allowing for the use of speeding enforcement cameras inside the city of Chicago in sensitive areas around schools.
Yep.
And we'd like that legislation expanded to all municipalities over 100,000 in population. That really covers only about six other municipalities inside the state of Illinois.
So are those home rule governments then?
They're all home rule governments, okay. Yes. The county has a couple of requests. They had a grant for the museum project that was swept by the General Assembly, and they're asking to have that $1 million restored. And then the county also has some language on the consolidation of the city and county elections authorities to clean up some of the language from what was passed last year. As far as capital projects that we're requesting of the legislature, if they do introduce another capital bill, we've identified nearly $120 million of county infrastructure needs and city infrastructure needs. There's also a request to help us with funding to rehabilitate University Street north of Pioneer Parkway up to Town Line Road. That would connect to the other capital project we talked about earlier. And also the Pioneer Parkway extension. We'd like to see some funding for that extension. And also funding for other pedestrian improvements on state routes. Particularly, we've seen that we need some additional improvements along War Memorial Drive and along Knoxville.
Anything else that city lawmakers will be asking of state lawmakers in the coming legislative session that might be of note?
Well, the only other points that I would make are we have, you know, our ongoing concerns about the state's fiscal condition, and we have some concerns with where pension reform is moving at the local level, and if there is going to be pension reform, we want to ensure that they address it for all local governments.
What does that mean?
That they don't just run a bill for Chicago and leave other local governments throughout the state of Illinois alone.
What position would that leave the city of Peoria in if that happened?
It's a concern because it would, you know, our concern there is that it would allow for pension reform votes to take place that would be done by downstate legislators without addressing the issues downstate while allowing them to address pension reform in Chicago. So we just want to see if they're going to do it, that they do it statewide.
Right.
And it's a concern. It's just the stress that we have over our ongoing pension system. And just as the state has those same concerns, we want to make sure that if they're going to do it, that they come up with a comprehensive statewide approach towards addressing these issues.
Because if the state would elect to handle Chicago's issues first,
they may never come back and focus on downstate.
Budgetarily, yeah. That could hamstring the city of Peoria.
Maybe not now, but over the long haul, yes.
The city's strategic plan, you guys have some new goals, or at least updated goals. This is in part metrics for your office, so you are able to guide and point city staff.
This is our roadmap to the future. What the council has done is adopted a new vision statement, an aspirational statement of where they want to see Peoria 15 years from now. They've adopted four new goals for the council, which include a financially sound, effective city organization, growing businesses, jobs, and population, having attractive neighborhoods, that are safe and livable, and that we have a vibrant downtown, central business district, warehouse district, and riverfront. And so those are the four goals that they've adopted. And within this, we also have our work plan for the year. So there's nearly 24 policy items that we'll be talking about that cover areas such as neighborhood preservation and economic development, to how we help our schools, to issues such as the CSO and looking at the warehouse district, to a management agenda, which are items that they've put on the manager's plate to try and accomplish, which include succession planning and leadership development, developing a long-term balanced budget strategy, coming up with ways that we can benchmark our inspections and code enforcement divisions and look at how we can improve their performance. So there are all those items. There's nearly 45 additional items that are currently underway that staff are working on, that the council's identified that they just want to see some resolution to. And then we also have all of the major projects that we'll be working on, from Orange Prairie Road to Pennsylvania Avenue to the Alta-Radnor intersection to Townline Road, as we discussed previously, the continued efforts in the warehouse district. And then lastly, the council has the core values that they've adopted that they want to see us do, which include values such as professionalism, excellence, opportunity, respect, integrity, and attitude. So we have a very detailed plan. As I said, this is our roadmap. This is the path that we'll be following. And all of the items that you see in this last item on the agenda this evening, we'll be bringing up over the course of 2014.
So for those who are interested in following city government throughout the course of 2014, really this document, the last item in the City Council's agenda tonight, if they go online to peoriagov.org and take a look at the agenda and then the attachments to the agenda, this is the document that they might look to if they need to lobby their council members, say, for something that they would like to get done in their community. This might be a place to look in how to go about lobbying for it.
That's correct. This is item 2F this evening is the roadmap of our work plan for 2014.
Equally, if they want to sit down at your desk and say, Patrick, this is something we would like to see happen in our neighborhood, here's the roadmap for how we would like to get there. This might be the document for them to take a look at.
That's it.
Patrick, thank you for taking the time to be here.
Thank you for having me.
Peoria City Manager Patrick Urich has been our guest on this Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Kuntz. Thanks for being with us. Please stay tuned for our live broadcast.